our meeting that is always scheduled on Tuesday, 10 o'clock or afternoon. Today we are meeting again. Going to waste any time to check the agenda.
Make an apology for Member Makausi.
Okay. Noted. Honorable Makausi's apology. Any apology from you members before I give the department? None. Let me go to DG.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and to the members of the Select Committee. Let me also indicate, I would hope that it was an issue that the office of Honorable DM Squacha would have raised. He is also out of the country attending to the issues around national geomatics that is taking place in Kenya. So he is out of the country, in Uganda, he is out of the country at this moment. We have received the invitation to present to the select committee as guided by Honorable Mudise, and the team from the department is on the platform and will be able with this team to also respond to the issues that will be raised. By the honorable members of the select committee. The presentation today would be made by Mr. Wanoroma, a running program of the department.
I will just do when you come back.
Thank you,
presentation. Honorable members, here are the apologies. Can we know the and then now let me give you a formal digital present. DG, yeah. You can continue with your presentation.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. As I was indicating, we have got a presentation ready on recap. The recap funding that the department had in the old rural development and land reform department before the merger between the two departments was and it was replaced with the land development with a request, and we have come and how we assisted the farmers. And the presentation today will be led by the DG Julius Mashapu, who is the chief director who's responsible for assisting farmers that are currently placed on the farms that are leased out by government. With your permission, Chair, I would like to hand over to Mr. Mashapu to do the presentation. And at question time, Chair, we have got a team of colleagues who are on the platform who will also be responding to the issues that the honourable men.
You can continue, Mr. DG.
Good morning, Chairperson.
Honorable Itumeleng.
Chairperson?
Yes, Honorable Itumeleng.
Oh, my apologies, Chairperson, to come late. I just wanted, am I audible, Chair?
Yes, sir.
Okay. No, I just wanted to check with you, Chairperson, that so that maybe you can assist me or guide me. The in terms of the apologies, Chair, I think we have gotten the apologies from the department as well as members. The president, Chair, which you have said is that we normally, Chair, because we are getting a briefing from a call from a department, it would be very something of appreciation if we have the political heads of those departments coming in just to give a background a briefing. So in this instance, Chairperson, we have received the apologies from both Minister and Deputy Minister. So it tells us that there is no political head to can facilitate the process of briefing. So I want to check with you, how are we going to move forward? Or maybe as the presidium changed that if the political heads are not here, we are proceeding with the meeting or not. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Itume Ntube. Honorable Ntube, immediately after the apology, I requested the members to note or to comment about the apologies. None of them they did, and you were in the meeting. Maybe it's afterthought when you raise your hand, Honorable Ntume. So I did ask members before even we can continue with this. I did ask. So as a person, I cannot take any decision without you, honorable member, and I cannot say anything. If the committee are quiet, it means silence, it means they agree with anything that is presented. But because now again, honorable, the two candidates in the meeting, unlike the last meeting, none of them, the ministers were not there. So I think, really, I don't know, but I think it's better. Better because the DG is in the meeting. Remember? Can you continue?
Chairperson, okay, Freedom Front, Western Cape. If it will benefit and suffice.
Wait. Honorable member, who are you? You say, who are you, honorable member? Honorable member?
I am a member of the Western Cape Provincial Parliament who been invited to attend this meeting.
Oh, okay.
Well, I would like to know if the people present are competent and have been empowered to answer any questions on the agenda. We can go ahead. But if they are going to tell us, we don't know, the minister isn't here, or the deputy isn't here, then this meeting will be a waste of time.
Thank you, Honorable Peter Murray. As the DG, when he presented, he started the meeting, he said he has a capable team and is also there to answer any question that will be coming from the members. It means they are capable, honorable members, to answer any question. So I hope honorable members will understand, then we can continue the meeting. DG, you can continue.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. If I may request Mr. Mashapu to begin. Let me take this opportunity, Minister and Deputy Minister, in absentia, DG, EDGs and my colleagues. It is an honor for us to come and present this report to the committee as per the request. As indicated by the DG, my name is Julius Mashapu, and I'll be leading this presentation. We can move to the next slide, Dr. Ralph. This slide is basically the table of contents in terms of the requirements or what we are going to be discussing in as far as the presentation is concerned. I'm not going to go through each and every item as articulated in this slide. The purpose of this meeting today is for us to respond to and give report in as far as the issues raised by the select committee, which covers the three areas, that is the cost of RADP to the department, RADP cost to land reform, and we have also made a slash there to say that as it relates to redistribution. Finally, the summary of the provincial assessment after RADP assessments was conducted and concluded. Firstly, we will start with the background, Honorable Chairperson. The DG has in fact tried at the beginning to give an overview of the background, but I'll just add on some of the issues that he might have left behind in his brief overview. The report is based on the assessment and analysis that the department has commissioned through a service provider that was appointed, which the focus was on proactive land acquisition strategy portfolio that is the funds that we have a redistribution program. The assessment that this report is based on commenced in 2016 and it was concluded around the end of 2019. The scope of the project included all PLUS projects until the end of August 2019, which means that subsequent to those to that cut-off date, those projects would not have been considered in this report. The total portfolio then, as we were talking, we engaged with the service provider. It was sitting at 2,235, and out of this total, 2,062 were visited by those who were field workers on this project. 173 were not visited due to various reasons, which include access and availability of farmers. And this was because of the timelines that were put to the assessment that needed to be concluded. By the end of the conclusion of the assessment or the analysis, the team then categorized the farmers that we, or the farms that we had acquired in terms of four areas, that is commercially viable, and those that are of medium scale, those that are of livelihood, and those that are non-viable. In other words, we have acquired some of the farms that would not necessarily give you the return on investment, in the sense that whatever the resources that were there were limited, and therefore they could not move and live to the expected outcome. However, there were other farms that were good farms that were acquired, and as you can see in terms of the numbers around commercially viable and medium scale. The department has taken certain steps to implement the outcomes of the assessment as we speak now. This slide basically, Honorable Chairperson, to indicate to us that we have spent on rent in a quite referring to in the slide in column 4, we then can see how much the support was provided. The last column provides the percentage in terms of recap, and since the program was implemented, the assessment or the analysis has indicated that the right farms were targeted. I've indicated it in the number of commercial farms that we have actually supported. Most of these farms that received recap had medium to commercial potential. In other words, these were the right farms that would have stimulated the sector if everything has gone according to plan. The assessment of the performance of this farm review that RABP did not have a significant impact on productivity, and this is what the outcome of the assessment has indicated. Even though those funds that were identified and supported were within the right categories. Of the of the 529 funds that have received a recap, 132, that is 24%, produced at a medium and commercial scale combined. And this is broken down into 13% and 11% respectively. The remainder of the 397 performed at either livelihood level or were not productive. RADP played a modest role in improving farm infrastructure. In other words, as part of the support that the recap and development program was providing, infrastructure was also included. And the assessment has noted that this was a modest improvement. Generally, the assessment has revealed that RADP farms perform slightly better than non-RADP farms. In other words, that those that we have assisted did make some inroads, even though that in terms of what was anticipated, not all of them did reach that level, and some, in fact, performed below that. Overview of the impact as we proceed. The majority of RADP beneficiaries had low to fair capability ratings. In other words, when the beneficiaries were also assessed, they were found not to be, if one were to call them, not necessarily the right jockeys that should have actually been on those funds, so that they would have then be the people who then made these farms productive as anticipated. Many low potential beneficiaries received a recap with little resulting increase in productivity. This point is linked to the previous bullet in the sense that even though they were sitting on the right farm, but because of their capability, they could not bring those farms to productivity despite the support that they were also provided with. The challenges included late or incomplete disbursement, misallocation, disputes between service providers and farmers.
Honorable Chairperson, I must say that in terms of the request that the committee has made to the department, we were required to also look at each and every province in terms of how RECAP has impacted. However, as we were assessing each and every province, we realized that the conclusion is the same, and we avoided having to have just one slide for every province that says provinces did not perform to the level that is anticipated. Everything came to the same conclusion, and that's why we summarized everything and pull it to the national level. However, we also provided the committee with the full provincial reports of the assessment, so that the committee can actually see what we are referring to. The next slide. The next slide, which is my second last slide, is the conclusion that we are making from this assessment. There's been poor performance due to poor beneficiary selection and support concerned by risk and limitation evaluation. Challenges can be addressed through dedicated effort to address constraints in a collective manner, mobilizing public and private sector resources. Performance of most PLAS funds can be improved through focused investment and support, matching prudently selected and supported beneficiaries with the right funds. Clear guidelines for sustainable land management and beneficiary selection and support detailed in the report. Significant improvement is likely with sound beneficiary selection and integrated coordinated support. Extensive capacity in the PLAS portfolio to make PLAS a model of collaborative innovation. I have indicated, Honorable Chairperson, that some of these observations or findings that came out of this report, the department is actually already in the process of dealing with some of these. We are talking about the issue of the selection of beneficiaries. As we all know that land reform is a value chain, and it starts from basically the acquisition of the land up to the support and marketing of those produce. Now, at the beginning or at the entry level, where the selection and allocation of these beneficiaries, it is an important entry point that needs to be properly managed, so that at the end of the day, when the support is provided, you're supporting already people that you know that they have got the capacity and the capability to farm. And therefore, I'm saying that we have already started attending to that. Cabinet has approved the beneficiary selection and allocation policy, which we are currently implementing as the department, which seeks to address this issue of beneficiary selection. In terms of working jointly with the private sector and other stakeholders in the sector. Indeed, if one looks at the implementation model that the DG alluded to of the LDS, we have begin to bring on board the financial institutions. We've also bring on board the commodity organizations to support us in the implementation of these. We've also provided other programs that would assist us in terms of making sure that there is access to funding through programs such as the blended funding that the minister has just recently launched. So those are the things or the work that we had already started in terms of implementing some the recommendations that were were made by the assessment or the analysis that we had commissioned. And let me pause here and thank the chairperson and the committee for the opportunity.
Thank you very much, Sam. DG, are you, this is the last presentation?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Yes, that is the presentation.
Thank you. Honorable members, here is the presentation from the department. Now I will give you an opportunity to ask questions. I'll see by show of hands. Members? Okay. Honorable Murray and Honorable Arnold.
Thank you, Chair. First of all, I want to...
And Honorable Mama.
Thank you, Chief. Can I speak?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, Honorable Murray.
Okay. First of all, thank you to the committee for having allowed the provinces to be present here today. This is what is meant by cooperative governance, and I'm glad that they've given some punch to the whole idea. But now, I looked at the figures they showed on RADP, support, money-wise, and farms that has been identified. The Western Cape, we know almost 50% of South Africa's food is produced in the Western Cape. 50% is a lot. But we are the least attention is given to the Western Cape. If you look at the figures which they read out, it shows that all the provinces have been rated. And the least farms that's been identified for this project is the Western Cape. I just would like to know why that is. Certainly, if you catch fish, you don't throw your net where there's very little fish. You throw your net where there's the most fish. The Western Cape has the most farms. So why do they spend there in terms of... Then I also would like to know, when it comes to viability, and they say that non-viable 132, as far as resources are concerned, can they unpack that for us? Because all the farm needs is well-trained workers and good land and water. That's so important, water. Now we know in the Western Cape the big problem, because we have the little Karoos and all that, the big problem in the Western Cape is water scarcity. So have they done about trying to address that problem in terms of dams or anything else, pipelines that could be to bring water to farms like Amalistain, White Crown and Ebenezer and so on? And anything be done to address that issue? And how are these farmers, the upcoming farmers, newly into the farming industry, how are they resourced? And I'm not talking about money. You know, in our community, Mr. Chair, and I don't want to keep you long, in our community, in the colored community, we have a word which they call ABBA. Amma means the mother carries the baby on her back and puts the Charlie around the baby, because then her hands are free to do what she must do, but at the same time she takes the baby wherever she goes. And that's the way the baby learns what the mother does. And the baby grow up seeing the mother wash up, making food, etc., etc., ironing. And when the baby is strong enough in the legs, only then is she allowed to walk. Are we expecting black colored and African black farmers to walk before their legs are strong? And who's up buying them? Our white farmers are to let these black farmers or colored farmers work side by side with them to teach them the skills of farming, or are they just giving land and left to their own devices? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Marain. Honorable Anwar.
Thank you, Chairperson, and greetings to all the members and then also to all the officials that is present. Chairperson, let me first thank the department for the request presentation. The department states that there is a, can we just get an indication where will this money be sourced from, and how much more resources will be directed at struggling farms, Chairperson? Then we would like to know as a committee in terms of the total money spent on recap, which is about 2 billion. We just want to have clarity in terms of the 3-point deadline. So can we just have clarity in terms of the selection criteria? If we also can get this clarity in terms of the first process of the selection of beneficiaries. Why are we sitting now with beneficiaries when the department indicates that we didn't have some of the right beneficiaries in terms of the allocation? And then what will happen now to all those dysfunctional through taxpayers' money? Can the department just give us an indication what will happen now to these dysfunctional farms?
Good morning to everyone. Chairperson and Chair, I've got 4 questions. My first question, Chair, the assessment report on the analysis of the 199 Houghton farms has found that there are about 47% of the plant which have the potential to the commission viable. Chair, on the basis of this analysis, I want to check that are there any plans to assist those farms that are struggling to be financially viable? If yes, what are the plans? The second question, Chair, I wanted to check that whether the department in the program of training of farms has planned about collaborating with academic institutions, other government departments and non-government organizations that provide training? If yes, can we get details on the plan? The process of project under the RADP in Gauteng. The fourth one, Chair, and the last one, I want to check what are the plans to improve of the weakness. I think I'll have the follow-up question if there's a need. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mama. Honorable Bayer Smith. Thank you, Chair. You're going to apologize. Excuse me for the video, but the network on my side is not very stable, so I want you to hear me clearly. Chairperson, the question I have is specifically on the recapitalization of farms. Through my term as a member of parliament, you know, we've been visiting a lot of different farms that has been recapped at a huge expense to the taxpayers. And as we just saw, you know, 2 billion was spent in the country on a recap. So my question is, in terms of that recapitalization, how much of that was actually effective in making those farms self-sufficient and sustainable, and actually became a success? Because, you know, if we keep on throwing money at something that we hope will work, instead of doing, and I think some of the other members actually mentioned it, is instead of just throwing money to make sure that the necessary technical skills is there, that there's strategic planning and the implementation taking place together with that. So, I would first like to hear in terms of, you know, how many of that farms are actually today self-sustainable, that can be sustained, or are they waiting for another recap to stay above water? Let me leave it there. Thank you, Chair.
So thank you very much, Honorable Smith. Yes, Honorable Arnold.
I forget there's one question that I also need to pose. Can I continue?
You are allowed, sir.
Okay, thanks, Chairperson. I think as a committee also, we need to get an indication from the department, seeing that we have raised this challenge with the department in terms of the overall budget underspend of the department. So can we get this time an indication that there will be an improvement in the spending of monies allocated to the department? Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Honor. Members, any member, you find out? Okay. From my side, DG, I have question, but let me add on the issue that was raised by Honorable Anort on understanding. I hope DG next year when you come to the committee, you will be spending the money as you're supposed to spend, but not spend because we have to spend. It must be available for money. So let me go to my question. DG, on your slide number 5, you have said the total amount of RADP support is 3.36 billion. But on the next slide, I checked the another slide, it stated that the cost of RADP to the provinces was just over 2 billion. Remember, we have 9 provinces, and you have 3.36 billion. So for 9 provinces, they have over 2 billion. Hopefully the presentation clarified this, as this is a large difference in the two values. This is my first question. And then the second question, Chair, is of the 28% of funds directed of non-viable farms, only 24 could be operated at the minimum intensify or commercial scale, while the rest 76 has reverted to subsistence farming or being not, abandoned farm. This raised further question about the quality of farmland purchase to the beginning with. The following matters are worth asking of the department. Was the sub-option form, was the farm sub-optional when the first identified? Did the prolonged process of identifying farms earmarked for land reform and the negotiating purchase resulted in a viable farm being none down by the time they were acquired? How many farms were in good in order when handed over to the land reform recipient? But due to the unscrupulous strategic partners and poor post-settlement supported by the department, fell into disrepair. Ultimately, what the fate of these non-productive farms now? It is unlikely that the farms can be returned to the commercial capacity without significant further financial investment, which the department does not have the disposable. Land reform recipient can also not be handed sub-optional parcels of the land and then being required to access money in order to attempt to get farms operational again. To ask from you, department. Thank you. I hand over back to you.
Chair, thank you. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. We would really want to appreciate the questions that came from the Honorable Members, starting with Honorable Mare, Honorable Arnold, and we have got questions that came from Honorable Wenya, Honorable Mayor Smith, and the Chair on the matters raised. And I must say, these questions put us in a position, pardon me, to address the issues that the Honorable Members have raised quite openly. As indicated in my opening statement, that the RECAP or RADP in its form ceased to operate in 2019, and there is a new program that is on the table. But the colleagues will be able to take us through that, and I will also be responding to the issues around what the department is doing. I think it would only be opportune to allow, let me go through to the team that runs a RECAP, request that we have got a response from the director first, who is responsible for the engagements, who has been running the program, Dr. Mushabele. And then from Dr. Mushabele, we go to Dr. Mashapu. After Dr. Mashapu, with your permission, I would request that DDG Nasele Mesomakulu also comes in, and I will go through the high level and policy issues that we have taken to deal with the issues especially the ones that have been raised by the Honorable Chair. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
We can continue, Chair DG.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Ndate Mashabile, if you can come in, you'll be followed by Ndate Mashabu, who was presenting, followed by DDG Makun, and I will conclude on the responses. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, DG, Chairperson, honorable members. Thanks for the opportunity. I will try to respond on the questions raised by members, honorable members, on the development and performance of the RDP program. I will start with the questions asked by honorable Marais. As to why the farms that are allocated are non-viable and why the Western Cape has been allocated low farms in terms of the selection of this recapitalization and development program. The data on the farms that are acquired across the country suggest that more farms have been acquired on inland, and the CS or the distribution of the properties across the country were allocated in line with the different commodity classification. If you look at the data as provided, you realize that most of the farms that are allocated are on livestock, and most of the beneficiaries of land reform are on livestock farms and followed by crop, then followed by deciduous fruit and your poultry projects. So the selections of those farms were given to the provinces to do selections on the projects that are viable, that are deemed to be viable and need support to stimulate the creation of jobs on the in the province. And that is how the province presented all those projects for approval. Then the projects were submitted for approval committee, and they were approved and supported as such. The other issue that has been raised by Honorable Marais is that what are we doing with the non-viable farms? When you look at the non-viability or as part of the classification done by the service provider that was appointed, you realize that the non-viable farms are classified as part of the four categories. And those non-viable farms are the farms that when you look at the highest and best use of those properties, even if you can put more investment on those farms because of their nature when they were acquired. For example, you find a livestock farm that is having little hectares in terms of grazing capacity or capability. That farm, even if you can put more farm, because it's, you will be using your normal grazing norms and standard, you will not be able to turn it into a profitable farm unless you go into intensive kind of operation. So the program tried to move away from converting farms from away from their original allocated capabilities, because we are directed by the farm capabilities. So those farms are the farms that are supported not with a view of getting a maximum impact, but with the view of getting them into the livelihood mode for the family that occupies the farm to be sustainable. What was there's another question that Honorable Marais raised that says what has the department done in terms of working together with the industry and to fast track the issue of collaboration. When the program was introduced, the minister then requested the industry to come on board as part of the expert and collaboration in assisting the emerging farmers to push the new entrants into the sector for a better commercial operation. We had some successes where you had strategic partners like your Grain SA that came into the into party and assisted some of the farmers. And when we did the review of the program through the Department of Monitoring in the presidency of the program, we found that there's a need to just expand the scope. Then we introduced, we changed the policy to introduce a more strategic partners or development partners to assist. And we called in the mentors because some of the farmers, you could find from the analysis that they don't need your strategic partner, but a farmer needs a neighbor or a next door farmer to assist him in terms of working together. And we introduced the mentorship program where the farmers were able to select their mentors and they use those mentors to assist them in their operations. Let me go to the question that were raised by Honorable Arnold. Chairperson, if you look at the we're demonstrating that some farms will need some more investment in the program for them to move where they are. When we came in with the intervention of recapitalization and development, it was in 2009 and 2010 when the program started. And we found that by then when the intervention came into place, most of the farms that were acquired before, they were already at the back foot in terms of the infrastructure to make them viable. So if you look at the investment that was made, the investment was more on trying to correct the infrastructure to make the farm farmable. That is why you didn't see the report flaking. There was a little impact in terms of the production, but the good work has been done in terms of the infrastructure improvement to make the farmers farmable, the production level to go up. Because we put them at the entry level of the assistance of extensions and other programs of government, the farmers will be moving up. But there are farmers that you still feel that they need support after you giving them the infrastructure, use them up. But those farmers will then be able to move forward. And with the new creation to support those farmers, we even introduced recently the blended funding, which will then be able to allow the farmers to go and request for production support instead of them going there to request both infrastructure and production support. The process of selection of the farmers, which was also asked by Honorable Arnold, what will happen, and he also reflected the question on what will happen to the functional farms. Let me start with the process of selection. The selection of farms that we are having is taking cue from the acquired farms and the analysis that has been done that shows the level of capability of the farmer, the level of the capability of the farm, then the farm will then be selected. And after the farm has been selected, the proposal will be made, and the analysis of the proposal will then determine how far can the farmer be assisted.
Remember, with the program, we're looking at the infrastructure, we're looking at the mechanization, we're looking at the production input and operational costs. So that after the selection has been concluded, the farmers have been identified, they will be put on the list, and the business plan will then be developed with the assistance of the partners, and it will be presented for approval. Then that is how the selection has been made. And those dysfunctional farms, if you look at the data and the reports that we are getting, those farms that are dysfunctional, most of the assessment have highlighted that some of the farms that are dysfunctional have been sent back to the department for reallocation, because we found that, like Nadema Shaku was saying, the jockeys that were occupying those farms, they were not correct jockeys for the farm, because remember, we didn't have a comprehensive selection process after acquisition of those farms. So with the new process, then we're trying to reallocate those farms to fit the purpose of the farm. Chairperson, let me stop there for now and allow other members to respond. Thank you, Chairperson and the honourable members.
Chairperson, with your permission, in terms of the lineup that the DG has outlined, may I request your permission to move it?
Yes, DG, until they finalize to answer the question, then I can take over.
Thank you very much, Madam Chairperson. Let me just add on the response that had to do with why Western Cape the 50% and more 50% of the food is produced there. And, Honourable Mare, the is also when farms are being put on the market, these farms, the prices of the farms vary depending on the provinces as well as the commodity and the amount of money that a province would have had, or the number of farms that would have been made available for purchasing would then determine how much a province would then have and could be able to purchase. So the what I'm basically saying is that you would find that we might not be able to purchase a lot in the Western Cape because of the number of farms available on the market. Secondly, the price of the farms that are there, as well as the type of commodity, because that also has an impact in terms of how much we can spend. The second one is around the 3.1, the 3.3 and 2.1 billion that the Chairperson and Honourable Arnold has picked up. The 3.3 Chairperson is what has been approved that came to the department. But the 2.9 is what was ultimately transferred to the farmers to begin doing work. Now, the question that would probably follow that I would want to respond to is that the money that was approved would then be transferred to the farmers in terms of the tranches based on what their implementation plan is. So we would not transfer the whole amount. If we have approved 1 rand for Julius, we would not transfer the entire 1 rand, but there would be a plan that says we would approve the first 5 rand, and then you will come and account for that 5 rand. And then we would, once we are satisfied with what you have done in terms of what the contract says as well as what the business plan says, so that would be the amount, and that will then figure the next tranche. And therefore, the difference that you are seeing there is what we have not yet, we could not get transferred because of the dispute that we would have experienced with the the particular farmer who was not responsive. The issue around the Gauteng, any plans to assist those that are financially viable? I think my colleague has indicated that, and the DG, since the DG has indicated that the recap or recapitalization and development program has ceased to exist. We are now relooking at those in the new program, and those that are there would then be considered in terms of the requirements. One of the things that I have alluded to, Chairperson, at the beginning is that the land reform is a value chain, and it starts somewhere, and it's ultimately culminates to the support of that farmer. And we are sitting right at the end of the value chain. And whatever that happens through before we can come in, we as the last man on the standing would then be required to actually do correct most of the things that would have happened at that point in time. It might be, and already I had indicated that the policy environment that the DG would be speaking to later to deal with those issues. However, there are those legacy issues that we would need to then also venture into and try to address, so that we are sure that whoever is on the farm is somebody that is really a farmer, even though the assessment that may come that says that these are the areas of shortcomings. Whenever we address those areas of shortcomings, there should be a farmer that should be able to farm on their own and not expect government to farm on their behalf. There was a question that was raised in terms of the collaboration with academic institutions and other role players. And my colleague has actually indicated how the previous minister had called upon the players in the sector in terms of coming in to gang around and support the black farmers. So we did take into account of that. I must be hasten to say that sometimes we give this kind of an expectation. We have this kind of an expectation in these participants and really get the result that we anticipate. So it's a matter of really working through the partnerships and then making sure that those partnerships are successful. In terms of the plans to improve the weaknesses, my colleague has responded to that, and I have also spoken to that. The DG will be touching on the policy issues around those. I would like to move to Honorable Bayers from Limpopo, who was saying that how much was actually affected and successful. In terms of the presentation, we have indicated that there is 24% of those funds that we have supported, and those funds that we have supported, those can be regarded as successful. However, as we all know that farming has got its ups and downs. If you look at the period at which the assessment was done, there was drought at some point in some of the provinces that we were declared. So even though that might have been the successful farmers, then they might have gone into a debt as a result of that. However, based on the assessment at the time, we could actually make available that information in terms of exactly who these ones are.
Understanding the next. Okay, the chairperson raised the issue of underspending. I'm just gonna indicate that we are working hard to ensure that we don't come back to this committee or any of the committees and indicate that we are unable to spend what has been given to us. And then one would also need to raise a radar that also says that we are working with partnerships of people who are part of us in terms of delivering this support to the farmers, as the members have actually already articulated about the integrated system in terms of ensuring that we improve the work that is happening in the sector, especially your previously disadvantaged. We're still dealing with some of the challenges that might come out of the tripartite agreement that we have as the department, as well as the farmer and the partners from either financial institutions or from the commodity organization. So we manage in that space, but with the a view that we will not be coming back and complain, because that is part of what we had brought in to try and bring some efficiency into the system and also supporting the farmers. I have responded to the discrepancy between the 3.3 and 2.1. I don't know if it was me, chairperson, when you were asking some of the questions. The system where I am was breaking a bit, and then I could not pick up most of the questions that the chairperson raised. The one question that I picked up is that the chairperson has made an observation and was asking us to, isn't that some of the challenges that we are currently facing in terms of, let's say for argument's sake, the infrastructure on the farms and things like that, not the result of extended negotiations that you had to go into before the farm can be acquired and things like that. So indeed, some of the your observation, chairperson, especially on this one, could is correct in the sense that you might go all the way discussing with someone and then thinking that you've got an offer, and that at the end of the day, the offer just fell through the crack. But there's also that this tendency that we have observed in most of the sellers, that as time, when they have made a decision to buy, there is lack in terms of investing on keeping the infrastructure and mostly the infrastructure in the intact, so that by the time when they sell, it is in that. So there is that kind of an observation that some of these farms, at a point of selling, the maintenance might not have been to what we anticipated. But you would still be buying a good farm, but you would still have to invest in terms of bringing the infrastructure to a point where it is farmable for a farmer who is meant to come in. The issue of blended funding that you raised, chairperson, yes, indeed is correct. We have noted that as the department, we have farmers that we have classified that these farmers would need 100% grant support. And once they have been supported and they have been, we have completed the program of support, we then graduate them. We don't want to see them
coming back to us, they then move to the program or the facility of blended support. And mostly the work that we do in this chief directorate is basically to prepare them so that by the time we take them out of the system, at least there's somebody that would then acknowledge them based on their creditworthy status. Because part of the thing that we are doing is to make sure that they are linked with the bank, which would then be able to assess them and how they are performing. We also try to make sure that they are linked to the market, and therefore the bank, they then develop a relationship with those banks, and therefore it allows them to, after we have completed our program, then they are ready for the blended funding, where they would then get whatever percentage that they would get from the bank based on the work that we have done with them. So indeed, those are being supported, Chairperson, in that way. Let me pause here. It is my belief that we have covered all of the issues that have been raised with us. Thanks, Chairperson DG.
Honorable Chairperson and honorable members, good morning. Indeed, that Julius Mashapu and then that Edwin, you extensively responded to the questions that were raised. For me, just to perhaps suffices to indicate to the committee that we are appearing before you today presenting a program, as DG and colleagues have already mentioned, that has ceased to exist. And there are, of course, as you could see, the percentage of success rate and the challenges that colleagues are beginning to reflect to why the program had to be terminated and replaced by the Land Development Support Program as we are currently implementing. So my input therefore basically is towards the future, trying to just drawing lessons from what went wrong, perhaps not ideal in a recap. We spoke about the jockey, where perhaps, among others, the reason for the non-desirable success rate was the actual beneficiary that that policy induction allocation to ensure that there is more vigor and energy exerted in identifying and selecting the correct beneficiaries to list these properties, to try and deal with what we learned from the shortcomings of the RICIT. There was a question about collaboration with various institutions, being academia, other departments, NGOs, and so forth. Again, Julius responded to that. Just to add, we also have a technical task team with the Department of Water and Sanitation, where we are also tackling the issues of water use entitlements, water rights, to make sure that the land reform and the water allocation reform synergies are taken to the level that they ought to be. And as and when we even approve allocation, members from that department are with us to guide, but also to take these issues post the approval of the acquisition or development to make sure that the issues of water, and very instrumental for successful funding, is taken care of. There was a question about plans to improve the shortcomings. And again, this is where we're coming in with a new approach of NDS that we already spoken to, but just to add more that because these are now a long-term list of 30 years, looking also at the deeds to ensure that these lists are registered lists, which also enables the lessees themselves in future to also try and source funding outside the department to also lower the burden on the state coffers to for them not to just purely depend on us, but also to be able to go out. As Natasha Julius is saying, through the blended funding scheme that we have, building up credible financial records as they get the grants, and then they are able then to graduate to get that mix of loans and grants. But without that credible financial records and bookkeeping that is essential for them to meet the requirements set in that scheme, the NPA support then comes in to support them in that regard. And the land development support that's currently implemented then was designed to really try and close this shortcoming that we experienced through RECAP, using the expertise from the community organizations and others. Again, the issue of mentorship was mentioned here. Another question also about training, skills development, and the capacity development, which also is very instrumental in making sure that the technical capability of the farmer is where it's supposed to be for them to be able to take advantage of the assets they have. So all those are built in to make sure that there is improvement in the system. Thank you very much. I will then hand over to Tiji.
Okay, could I have a piggyback question on the response?
Honorable Murray.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Chair, the response I got here was that the farms in the Western Cape are very expensive and to buy. I wasn't referring to buying it. I'm referring to what already is in the hands of the state. If you look at the Missionary Act of 1909 and you look at the Tranquil Act of 1998, I want to tell the committee the following land is already available. Freemus Hines, Harlem, 559 hectares. Transit, 189 hectares. Slangerfie, 804 hectares. Luar, 5,902 hectares of land. Rietpoort, 15,000 hectares of land available. Ebenezer, 18 million hectares of land, Mamre of land, are already available to farmers in the Western Cape. Saron, 3,323 hectares. Seerbrug, 4,156 hectares. Genatendal, 4,641. Verneer, 55. I can go on and on. I've written to the minister. I asked her, what are you doing with this land? And the minister said that she must first hold referendums in those areas to ask the people what must happen to the land which the government at present is holding in trust for those communities, in trust. The land has been in trust since 1910 with the formation of UNIR, and that they want to first consult the communities to ask whether how they want to own the land, communally or as individuals. So what is your department doing about it? Has there been budgeted for? How far are you? You don't need to go and buy a farm. Yes, land, ample land, but the land is held in trust by national minister. Can you tell me whether it's been budgeted for it? Are you aware of the Tranquil Act and what are you doing of resource funding and land development support? Is this part of the program? If not, why not?
Thank you, Honorable Murray. DG?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Let me start with Honorable Murray. Yes, the department is very aware of the transformation of certain rural areas act of 1998. And as indicated, even in our own APPs and the department the intent is to ensure that the land is returned to its rightful owners. And this is done in terms of the consultations that we have with different incumbents who are in different areas. As you would know, that there were elections in terms of CPAs in Saron. And what happens is that with each and every transfer that you do, there is always a, from a departmental side, an element of saying what kind of development support do we give to that land. But it doesn't come from this part of the funding that we had presented today. What we were presenting today is the funding that was given to what we call the proactive land acquisition of land that was done previously. And that would mean that it would be individual farmers in terms of Kranka, then there is a separate process in terms of engaging and funding for them. We, as the department, the minister, in terms of launching different programs, has indicated that when land is being reallocated or even now given to its rightful owners, what needs to happen is that there also has got to be an equal way of ensuring that the funding that goes with that transfer of land. So that's where we are in terms of that. We are where Honorable Maren. The engagements that we would like to reflect on, and I would like to thank Chair and my colleagues for the responses that they have given to the questions. I think the issue around Honorable Maren, I've just touched base with an additional question that he had on Kranka and what is being done from the departmental point of view. Is an issue that Honorable Arnold and the Chair had reflected on the spending within the department. I would like to reiterate that there's two critical spending points. The first on compensation of employees, as we are still busy restructuring. And then secondly, on the presidential employee stimulus initiative, both of those we are currently giving attention to. In terms of the presidential employment stimulus initiative, what we have done is that we have noted that the spending continues to be low, and we are coming up with a new way of just ensuring that spending is being done, especially in the summer rainfall areas, to ensure that we use that money for the farmers to be able to plant, and for those who are in the livestock industry to also get medication for the animals. So we are confident that we'll be able to spend that money. And as you would recall, Honorable Chair, part of the slow spending that we have had was that the money in most instances was given very late in the year, and there was planning that was needed, and therefore we had asked also for a rollover. So we're spending the rollover funding also in this space. To date, we are progressing quite well. On the compensation of employees, we have been able to conclude both processes as prescribed in the National Macro Organization of Government. And we are currently filling those vacancies, and we will be able then to be in step with the budget that we are having. The other programs of the department, as you know, would require that we also rethink with the outbreaks of diseases that we are experiencing in our countries, with the different climate change effects that we are having. We have got floods and rural roads being eroded, farm roads being eroded. We are also embarking on a program to ensure that some of that budget is being spent there without being too elaborative on the other areas. But just to reassure that we are looking at the issue around budget spending so that we don't spend here and indicate that we didn't spend the budget when there are needs in our sector, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members of the Select Committee. I'd also like to reflect on three areas, I think. The first one being around land, and my colleagues have been able to indicate that maybe in terms of the previous engagements that we had as a department, the land that we had also bought was not as strategically located as we would have liked it to be. And I would like to refer, Honorable Chair, to the program that we have now and the social competence that we have with the private sector labor and the communities to ensure that through the Agriculture and Agro Processing Master Plan, we identify corridors where strategic and located land would be so that we can be able to produce those commodities and grow those value chains that would ensure that the land that we buy would be productive land and would also assist this department and the sector towards having a sustainable inclusivity and transformation within the sector. The second issue is on the policy space, and it's important that we reflect that we in 2020 the cabinet approved the allocation and beneficiary selection policy, and it serves two distinct purposes. The first one, to ensure that where land is allocated, it is allocated to ensure that there is transformation with clear targets that 50% of the land that the department procures will be for women, 40% for youth, and 6% for people with disabilities. So that is the target. But if we targeted the group without ensuring that there's proper beneficiary selection, which would mean that there would be training, there would be the right people being put on the farm, we risk of also sustaining food security. So the policy area is meant to ensure that as we allocate, we ensure that the people with the right skills are put on farms so that these farms become productive and become sustainable in terms of production. I would like to also reflect on the financial support, and I think that to a great extent, if the question coming from Honorable Bayers Smith talks to this area of support, in terms of financial support, we are aware that grants in the long run would not be what this country can sustain in terms of pushing agriculture. And therefore, we have already started in terms of what kind of mixture can we have to ensure that as we commercialize, we also deal with the issue of ensuring that there is financial sustainability on the funds that are being allocated by government. Minister in 2020 launched the Agri-Industrial Fund together with the Industrial Development Corporation, where over the MTF government would be seeding money to ensure that there is transformation in the sector and we assist farmers. And we have also encouraged our farmers to also take this opportunity with both hands so that we can be made able to move the sector. And as recent as this month, the minister also launched the engagements with the land bank on blended funding also, where government would be giving grant funding, but the land bank would also be coming with loan funding to a tune of 3.2 billion, so that we can be able to then say what are the avenues that the farmers can use for this funding. We are also, as the department, finalizing discussions with commercial banks also for blended funding, so that as we move, we can have a very good geographical spread where the farmers can be able to access this kind of funding. And we are very optimistic in terms of the funding options that we are having on top of the grant funding that we have in terms of the land development support, the comprehensive agricultural support program, the illimalism, that we will be able to slowly but surely reintroduce this at different levels. And that is why there is currently a discussion that is happening around the comprehensive producer development policy and how this policy is meant to also address the areas of farmer development and categorizing farmers so that we can be able to say that once you have reached a particular stage then as a farmer, you'll be able to be graduated from one level to the next level, and therefore sequentially ensure that you then move to the next level. But what is really important, and I think the cardinal theme over some time that has been happening, is that as farmers would most of the time would need an operational loan that they take on a yearly basis if they are doing certain levels of farming or crop farming that is seasonal that they would need to have. So we are packaging government intervention around those kind of funds. That come from the farmland. The honourable member aware of the engagement that we have had with this August committee on the extension support, where we need to have the maximum support to our farmers to reduce the level of extension to farmer relationship, you know, take into consideration the 40,000 commercial farmers, the 250,000 smallholder farmers, and just over 2 million households that are involved in agriculture, so that we can be able to make that support available to the farmers. And I think that with those policy interventions, we will be able to move into a space where there is a sustainability aspect on the farms that we are having. Take into consideration living in a climate change environment, there would be climatic boundaries that we have got to deal with, but we need also need to future-proof our agriculture in line with our commitments at the Paris Agreement and also the recently concluded just transition, which we also need to factor in into different businesses. Farming businesses in our country. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and thank you very much, Honorable Members, for the questions as posed to the Department. We will be making available the assessment that was done on the farms that have been procured by government at that stage, and we hope that it will share some insights that the colleagues have shared with you today. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much, DG. For responding to our questions. Honorable members, do you still have any follow-up before I can close the meeting? Oh, yes, Honorable Marais.
I would like to know how regularly will these type of meetings take place between national and the provinces? This was most informative. I want to thank the DJ and his team, but if we could meet more than just once in a lifetime, a lot of problems can be ironed out in terms of land reform and how it should be done. You know, the Constitution makes provision that anything that can be handled more efficiently and effectively at provincial level, the national minister may devolve those authorities and powers to provinces. And I think there's a lot of things the provinces can do in terms of land reform, even if it's just regular consultation with each other. So I would like them to carry this over to the minister, who's not here, that we would like more contact between their Department of Land Reform and the province of the Western Cape. We would appreciate it very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Marais. That one is the internal issues. We as a committee, we are the one who is supposed to invite you, not the department. The department, the committee invite the department to come and present. The committee can invite the legislators to come to join the committee, not the department, but we'll do it in future so that you must not be left behind. So we'll do that. Without maybe there's no any follow-up question on Mr. DG, let me thank you for presenting to us. This is the issue of land is very key and is very important as we represent the interests of our provinces. But DG, in my province, this one I've been raising for number of years since I was the member of this committee. Today, some farmers, they will be given the land, but when they will claim maybe so many hectares that they were supposed to be given by the department. But when the department give them back their land, but the hectares are not the same. For example, last 2 weeks ago, I went to, it's in my constituency because this family has been writing letters and so many letters to me. And I've raised these matters with you, DG, several times. I went to the land in Kade village, the land for the Fleming. The Fleming told me that they have still have 42 D outstanding land. They say section 42D is still outstanding. The department just went there and then talked to their families, and then they come back. They don't say anything about the outstanding land. So please, DG, make sure that the land commissioner and other members of that commission, they do justice to our community. Because those members, those family of Fleming, they are always asking how far are the department are going to give them their land. So by so saying, let me thank you, DG, and your team. It was a fruitful meeting. There and there, it was an eye-open meeting. We learned a lot today from your presentation. We thank you for coming to us when we call you. Thank you very much. You are released. But before you go, maybe DG, you wanted to comment on something before you go. And then after, you will be released.
No, thank you. We would want to thank the Select Committee for the engagements today. Very fruitful indeed. I will also check on the Fleming issue and also take the message through to the Commissioner and the Regional Land Lands Commissioner and report to you directly, Honorable Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much. You are remaining so that we can continue with our internal matters of the committee. Department, you are released.
Can the provinces remain here, whom are we released to?
Yes, you are released to Honorable Peter. And thank you very much for attending our meeting. It was
good. Very good. And a very good chairmanship. Best I've heard for a long time. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, I've seen the department have left. Aska, can you... Yes, Aska?
Yes, thank you, Chair. Chair, we only have one set of minutes, but we don't have a quorum. We don't have a voting quorum. for the minutes will have to stand over until the next meeting, Chair, unfortunately.
No, we are fine. It's honorable.
Yourself?
The honorable Debrain, Mangwenya, honorable Bibi, honorable Mtiva.
Voting rights, ma. Yourself, Mam Gwenya, Mam Bibi, and Mr. Ntiva. Mr. Tumaleng, Mr. Ntube, we've lost connection with him, so he was the fifth one, and Ms. Labuskafni. So we've only got four. The other members on the platform do not have voting rights, only you four. Unfortunately.
Why are you saying other members? Oh, they were not in the meeting.
No, they were in the meeting, but they do not have voting rights from their province. Remember, Mambonia is the lead delegate.
Understand. Okay. No, members, because we... are not going to continue with the voting of our minutes. I will say this meeting is officially adjourned, and thank you very much for availing yourself to attend this meeting. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Mama, thank you very much. I met you in Jalaga, Mama, today.
Yes, better with that.